Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. This is Dr. Dreama. Have you ever looked at a magazine and looked at the photos and thought, oh my God, those are so beautiful, and wondered about the story behind them? Well, wonder no more. Today, we have expert Nora Wendell. She likes to motivate, inspire, and build community, and she has just launched something called the Photo Forest. Welcome, Nora.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited just to find out more about this whole concept of the photo forest. What is this?
Yeah, so it's just launched as in the 15th of June, and it's my new baby birthed into this world for facilitating community for online business owners. But the premise of it is actually we sell stock photos, but we sell stock photos for heart-centered businesses. But it's not, you can't just go on and buy a single photo. It's a membership site. So the Photo Forest is a community-driven membership site where you can find beautiful, holistic stock photos for, you know, your business. But it's not only that, because there's so many other stock photo sites out there. And I, you know, was always asking myself, what value can I bring? What else can I bring to the table? And when I really thought about it, and what do people need stock photos for in business? Well, they use it to market their business with. So you might use it in a Facebook post, in an opt-in in your webinar slides, or you know, in a Facebook ad, right? So I was like, all right, so people are using it to market their business. What value can I bring to help people market their business? So in essence, like at the Photo Force, we're teaching all our members how to market their business with more fun and creativity and efficiency. Because in the end, if you market yourself better, you're going to get more clients, you'll get more money, and you'll be able to live the life that you always wanted.
Wow, that sounds fabulous. Sign me up.
Yeah, so, you know, what part of the benefits of members is you get access to free monthly marketing workshops, which are held by industry leaders and experts in digital strategy and marketing. So it's free for members, and you get bi-monthly mastermind sessions where up to six members come together and discuss business goals and struggles where we all can help each other out. So this is what I said is I want to really find people who want to help each other out, because, you know, we're all in this online journey together with our online businesses nowadays. It's all about being online. So I want to bring people together to show that we can do this together. We can rise strong together. Let's help each other out, because your skills might be able to help somebody else out. Even just a simple suggestion might like trigger a whole flood, a series of inspiration and ideas for your business.
I love that. And that's exactly what you said that you want to do. You like to build community. And I love this idea of community, because when people come together, we're so much more powerful. We're so much more creative.
Yes, it's yeah, exactly. And somebody asked me, why do I want to build community so much? And, you know, I had to think about it. And it just leads me a little bit to my childhood and how I grew up. So I was born in Thailand, in Bangkok, and I grew up in Nepal mainly, and then India, Hong Kong. So Southeast Asia. But I was always in between my parents since my parents separated. So I was 1 year with my mom and 1 year with my dad. So I had like two smaller homes, let's say, but because I was always moving, I never felt like I had one home. And home and community for me kind of go hand in hand. So then I went to boarding school in India, and then I went to university in London, and then university in Australia. So I've been moving, like I was kind of a global gypsy from a very young age already. So for me, this idea of community has just stayed with me since childhood. And I always wanted my own community, and maybe I didn't have it when I was younger, or I didn't have it in the capacity that I thought I wanted it. So now when I'm older, I'm like, I want community. How do I build and foster community? And this is one of the reasons I am doing the Photo Forest in the way that I just described.
I love that. And you know, you're right. So many of us kind of overlook how our childhoods in actuality play a part in the paths that we choose. And I too grew up all over, but my dad was in the military. And so I really understand and relate to this idea of wanting community. I always wanted sort of like a house with a white picket fence because that was so far out of my reality.
Yeah, me too. I always wanted a house with a white picket fence. Me too.
So let me ask you this. I know how difficult it is to pull everything together to get something launched. Has this been easy for you?
Well, I can say yes, because I choose to see it as easy, but other people would say no. So let me just explain. I'm going to go back to how I came up with this business idea, because a lot of people expect, I'm just going to start the next business, and they expect to have inspiration and an idea immediately. And I chose to look at it a little bit differently. My background was in graphic design. I did a little bit of photography, specifically yoga photography. So whenever I traveled, I would write to yoga studios and teachers and say, I'm coming, would you like to do a shoot? And then I did branding and website design for female entrepreneurs. And so I had a little bit of experience in searching for stock photos and realizing there's nothing in this specific niche, because I was doing a heart-centered, websites, and I was just like always frustrated. So I had a little bit of like an inkling of maybe what I wanted to do. However, I didn't know. So it took me a year, literally a year, of where I woke up every single morning and I asked, what could I do that's bigger than myself? And what do people really need in this world? And I wasn't hungry for an answer. I wasn't impatient. I let it sit with me, and it was just the first thought I had every morning. And I left it at that. Maybe I had a few ideas, maybe I didn't. And it was after a year that I was in Hong Kong and I did a yoga photography shoot the night before, and I woke up one morning and I was just like, everybody needs photos. Why don't I start stock photos? And just the kind of personality I am, I did a little bit on my kind of website design. I was like, okay, I'm going to start putting some stock photos on there. But it didn't satisfy me, because one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to be able to help more people. And as a graphic designer, I wasn't able to upscale my design aesthetic to help more than just like two or three people at a time. I couldn't outsource my own design because people came to me for me. And so I felt a bit limited. So that is why the question I asked, what can I do that is bigger than me, that's helping other people and what people need? So when I decided to go down the stock photo and the photography route, I did try a little bit on my own website, but I knew that's not what I wanted. I knew I wanted to build a new platform. And I've been calling it, the stock hashtag stock photography revolution, because I'm out there to revolutionize the way people view stock photos and the way that stock photo platforms are currently built. There's no community around that. So, to answer your question, has it been an easy journey? Well, it took me a year to come up with the idea, and it took me another year to actually finally launch the business, which just happened last week as of this recording. So, and it wasn't easy because, I wanted to launch in 2 months when I came with the idea. I was excited. I was like, yes, this is what I wanted to do. I found a web development team. I put aside some funds for it. I then decided to not work on websites or branding anymore. And after 2 months, I didn't have anything. The team couldn't complete it in time because I didn't have as much money. Of course, if I had maybe $30,000 to do this, I could have hired somebody who had like 20 people working for them and it would have been done. But I was self-funding this. It was all my own money that came from, month to month from some of the design clients that I had. And in the end, the launch date kept getting pushed until like October, and then it was December, and then it became January 2017. And I was just like, there's still nothing. And I already advertised. I kept having to tell the people, and I was already collecting people onto my email list by sending out free stock photos every week. Every Thursday, I sent out 5 free stock photos. Wow. And so I had people on my email list. And this went on, I think, like until we launched, I sent out 40 weeks of free stock photos. And that's 5 stock photos every week, right? So that's, I sent out a lot of freebies.
You sure did.
And then people were writing to me like, when are you launching and what's happening? It's taking really long. And I felt really guilty. And I was just like, it's not ready. I can't do anything. And then my web development team, which I had hired, quit on me in January 2017. Whoa. And now this is the time where you can think, all right, I can quit right now. you know, this isn't going to work. I've spent so much money. I had to go back to doing graphic design because I didn't have any money left. I couldn't just survive on, you know, on nothing. All the funds which I had funneled or were already taken by the team. But I chose to see this as an opportunity to find somebody who really wanted to work on this project. And because I decided on the mindset that, no, this is a positive thing, not a negative thing, I then managed to find someone 2 weeks down the road. You know, of course, I asked everybody I knew and I spent all my time and effort trying to find the next person. And I knew instead of a team, I wanted it to be one person because that meant communication was easier. And so I found someone and he finished the project for me. And it took another almost 4 months, right, to finish it up. But we've launched now. And you know what? It can only get better from this point onwards. So has the journey been easy? No, but I choose to see it as a yes, because I've learned so much.
That's fabulous. You said something earlier that I want to follow up on, and that is you really sitting down and asking yourself this question of what do people really need in this world? And I love how you sort of postulated from this place of what can I give? Where do my talents lie and how can I serve others? What do people really need? I think that's such a great question that obviously led to this revolution that you created.
Yeah, you know, if anyone's listening and is looking for their next business idea, I highly suggest you journal about this question and just ask yourself it every day without expecting an answer. The problem is when we start expecting things, that leads to disappointment. So just put it out there. What can I do? What can I do that's bigger than me? How can I serve people in the best possible way? And just put it out there like that and then leave it and just revisit.
That's wonderful. So, but the other thing that you said too, which I think is really key, and this is something that I emphasize with people all of the time, is we always have a choice. Like you have a choice about whether or not you label this as hard or easy, but you also had a choice when it seemed like everything was falling apart. You could have walked away, but instead you said, nope, I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to learn from this and I'm going to keep going because this is what I want to do.
I always look at every situation as an opportunity for growth. And I've trained myself. I am actually quite a negative thinker. I worry a lot, but I don't want to be that person. And so when I'm faced with difficult situations, I consciously choose to see it in a positive light. And you know what? It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of determination to do that. But I know the type of person I want to be, and that's what I'm working towards every single day.
I love that. I want to ask you something. You say you worry a lot. Let's talk about worry, because I think that when you're an entrepreneur, worry just kind of goes hand in hand with fear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I'm going to share with you a little, it's not a tool. It's like a practice I do. And I just did it this morning as well. And it's about worrying. And I have my journal and I make a line down the middle of the page and on one side of it, and I title it My Worries. And I write down every single one of my worries. And on the other side of that line, I write down possibilities. And I write exactly the opposite of my worry. So, you know, if I'm worried that, you know, I'm not going to have a single client and you know, my mortgage is going to fall through and I'm going to da 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 da, right? I write down the exact opposite, that I have clients and emails coming to me every single day with people who love my work and want me to help them. You know, I have paid off my mortgage and I don't have to worry about a single thing. So I try not to use the word worry in the positive side. And I do that for every single worry. And once you have all your worries written down and once you have all the positives or possibilities, some of your worries just aren't there anymore.
Isn't it amazing that when we actually sort of externalize these things, we can see, wow, I can worry, but I can also look at the possibilities, and the possibilities are so much more exciting.
Yes. Well, wouldn't you rather be excited rather than worried?
Oh, yes.
You know, and it goes back to choice. who do you choose to be? Do you choose to be the warrior, or do you choose to be the passionate, excited, inspiring, and motivating person who, like, people come up to you and just be like, wow, I just love your energy and you inspire me? I mean, who do you choose to be?
Right. And we don't go to people who are anxious and worried and say, wow, you inspire me, because they don't, right?
Yeah. Really?
You know, oh my God. Oh, that negative energy. I'm not sure that I want to be around that. And so learning to harness it the way you're talking about, I think that's a wonderful tool. Just doing exactly what you said, writing the worries down on one side of the page and then answering those worries with the possibility. I think that's a fabulous tool. So thank you for that, Nora.
Yeah, please. You know, if you're listening, go try it. Do it immediately, tomorrow morning, tonight. Just try it out and see how you feel afterwards.
Exactly. Because that's the thing that I find a lot of people don't quite understand, is the way that I feel is not a permanent state. It doesn't have to be a permanent state, right? We have
yes,
a choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
We can change and work on our emotions and our mindset. And I think once people understand that, the possibilities truly do become endless.
And, you know, I'm a person who has recently become very aware of the changes in my emotional state. And I watch myself in the morning waking up, maybe very positive, then I start work and I get a little bit worried. And then maybe I'm missing my friend or maybe my partner. And then I'm getting a little bit, like, you know, homesick, or I'm feeling this. And then a friend walks in and all of a sudden I'm really happy again. And I see it. How quickly we can change our emotions. And so I think one of the things that most of us think is that we're stuck in one state, but we're not. You know, the ability to switch from, you know, happiness to sadness, and from sadness to happiness to excitedness, doesn't even take 3 seconds. It's like milliseconds.
Right. And that's just it, because two people can have a very similar experience and they can experience it very differently. And that all goes back to how we choose to think about things, how we choose to react to something. You know, so I might get news that, oh, wow, I've got a bank overdraft, for example. Bank overdraft. One person may be going, oh my God, I've overdrawn my checking account. I'm so bad with money. I could lose my house. And they go down this big tunnel of fear and anxiety. Another person may be like, oh, I need to do a better job about reconciling my bank statement each month. I'm just going to do a better job from now on. I'm going to pay better attention to it. And they don't do to themselves the same thing that the other person does. And that's all about mindset. So I really like how you're talking about approaching it from this idea of possibility.
Oh, you know, I love possibility. It really excites me, because it's like, you don't know, you can dream and you can imagine. And it goes for, like, if you've got ideas for your business, and this is how I've set up the photo for us. I've got a certain framework, which this is, you know, how I've presented it to the world. And, you know, I've got certain values, which people are now, you know, wanting me to fulfill. So that is my framework. But within that framework, I am so free and creative in what I can actually do. And that's exactly how I wanted the business to run.
That's wonderful. I want to know, though, because I'm sure there are going to be people who are listening who are like, God, I don't know. It sounds like she's had a pretty charmed life. You know, she's lived in Thailand. She's lived in Nepal. She's lived in India. She's lived in London. She's done all these things. Is there another piece of the story, like a time where maybe you didn't believe in yourself? Maybe you didn't have this sort of mindset?
Yeah, and when I was living in India, and this was about 4 years ago, I lived in New Delhi. So I lived in New Delhi 5 years ago. I lived there for 2 years. And I went and I started a jewelry company. It was a yoga jewelry company selling mala beads, so 108 bead necklaces with semi-precious stones and crystals. And I moved to India and I set up this company with my Indian business partner. And, you know, it was going really well. And we were traveling a lot to all the yoga festivals. We were selling internationally. we were doing wholesale and retail, and it was like, you know, two years down the line, and you know, yeah, it was getting very successful, but I wasn't happy, and I was living in Delhi, and it's one of the most polluted cities in the world, and I was living in this little flat, and India is chaotic. It's beautiful and it's chaotic at the same time. And one day I woke up and I realized I wasn't living the life that I wanted to live and the lifestyle that I wanted to live. And almost immediately I came with, it was a self-triggered anxiety and panic attacks, and really bad anxiety actually. And I literally, I packed up and I left, and I went to, my dad was living in India and in Goa, he lives there part-time. And I, you know, even had trouble sitting on the flight to go and meet him, and I just had to leave the big city. And it got to this stage where I was feeling really lost, because the business I had started wasn't what I wanted to do. It wasn't me. And I had started it, and you know, I had my commitments and I continued to do it, but it just didn't feel good. And I spent 6 months in Goa in India, and I almost couldn't leave my house. Like, I could almost leave my house when I had someone, but I felt really insignificant, very small, no confidence in myself. And I went to counseling and I went to dance therapy. And, you know, it took me 3 years to fully overcome my anxiety. And, you know, I still have fear of anxiety returning, but through the knowledge that at any moment your emotions can change and your state can change, that was really the healing that I went through, is to understand that I might have anxiety and panic attack now, but in the next moment, there's also the possibility that I don't. And the other thing which I learned through my anxiety was self-care and self-love. And because there were days, maybe 3 or 4 days, where I wouldn't even leave the house. And many of us then start beating ourselves up like, oh, you should be going out. Or why aren't you doing this? Look at you. You're terrible. Da, 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 da. It's our own voices beating ourselves up. And one of the things my counselor at the time told me, Nora, it's perfectly okay. So what if you don't want to go outside? You spend your time inside. Have a great time. It's okay, you know? Right. And when you're ready, you'll do it. And that took me 3 years to learn, and I still apply it today. And that's why I kind of feel like I'm pretty, you know, I don't use the term chilled out. It's too, you know, teenage-like. But I'm a very aware and conscious person of my feelings and emotions. And it's because I went through almost 3 years of, you know, very bad anxiety.
Well, that's really an amazing story, and I'm sure that there are people listening who can relate to that, because anxiety can take over your life, and people find it really hard because it is such a vicious cycle. But what you're talking about, too, is about learning how to triumph against our mind, because sometimes our mind is just trying to keep us safe, even though the safety itself may not be exactly what we want, right?
Yeah, it is. Anxiety is all about thinking that, you know, you're in danger, and it then triggers, you know, the flight or flight symptom, and you just get really nervous. So it was, for me, it was like, and I'll just tell you the story, and I really like this story, is that, you know, I was in India, I was seeing in Goa, and I was, you know, seeing my counselor, and I really needed to go to the ATM because I had to pay her, but I was really afraid to go. My anxiety was there. I didn't want to go alone. My hands were sweaty, and then, you know, I had like my heart rate was racing, and even just talking about it made me anxious when I was talking to her. And she just looked at me and she says, "Who's to say you can't just ask your taxi driver to go into the bank with you?" And then I was like, "No, but I can't do that. What's he going to think of me? Da, 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 da." And he's like, she was like, "Nora, just ask for help."
There,
and I was like,
go.
"Oh." And so the next day I went to my taxi driver and I said, "Can you come into the bank with me?" And you know what? Of course he didn't mind. He was like, "Sure." And you know what? He sat next to me for half an hour in the bank until I could get to the ATM, and I felt okay. He didn't know anything else. I didn't tell him I had anxiety, but you know, he just sat with me there. He was like, you know, it didn't matter to him.
Right.
And I managed to get my money, and the next day I went to my counselor, and I was so happy. I was like, look, I did it. And it's the small wins. It's the small things like that. So if you do have anxiety, be kind to yourself and acknowledge the small things that you do, because do you know what? Everything is important.
Everything is important. And asking for help is sometimes the gateway to so many other things in life, because once we learn how to ask, we start receiving more of what we need in life.
I'm a big believer of asking. I have many friends who are like, oh, I can't ask, you know, it's a favor. I'm like, but if you don't ask, you'll never know. Maybe somebody is willing to help you. Maybe, you know, something that even more than you thought they would help you, they'll like go out of their way because that's the kind of person they are. If you don't ask, you'll never know. You'll never have that possibility. And it's something my mom always told me, actually. She's like, you know, what's the worst case scenario? They say no, and then you walk away, and that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. The worst case scenario is usually they say no, and we go, oh, okay, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to ask. Honestly, just go for it. But do it in a calm and compassionate and intentional manner. Don't be rude about it. Don't be expecting. Just, you know, come from a place of centeredness and purity and yeah, intention. Yeah. And don't never expect, because then you will get disappointed.
Right, right. Because I always tell people, look, you have the right to ask, and the other person has the right to say no.
Yes.
So it's not about expecting. It's just about putting it out into the world and seeing what you get, and then saying, wow, look at me. I was able to ask without getting hung up on the outcome.
Yes.
So Nora, thank you so much for being here today. It's been a delight to find out more about your journey and this revolution that you are creating. If someone who's listening wants to find out more about you, about the photo forest, where can they go?
Yeah, so, you know, come, it's, you know, our URL is thephotoforest.com. Come check out our website. There's a live chat function. Tell me you heard me on Drema's podcast. I'm always answering the chat myself. I also have a Facebook group, a free Facebook group. It's called Creative Marketing 101. And that's the kind of, you know, intro stage to what the Photo Forest has to offer. And we do Facebook Lives with marketing experts every month on topics that everybody votes on. So like in May, we did all about video and like Facebook Lives and, you know, how to overcome the fear of video and all of this, or how to start a YouTube channel. That was all in May. In July, we're going to be doing about Facebook marketing, so things like messenger bots or how to get more engagement on your Facebook page. So that's the Creative Marketing 101 Facebook group. Best ways, if you wanted to say hello, is through the chat function on the website. Come check us out. Leave your comments. You know, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your story.
That's so innovative, having that chat box on your website. I love that.
It has revolutionized the way that customer service is done for me. And do you know what? People use it. People ask questions, and people also come on and give me comments, things that aren't working and things they love. And it's so beautiful to be able to be there to receive that.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Nora. Again, thank you for being here so much. I really appreciate your time.
No worries. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
We've been talking to Nora Wendell. She is the revolutionary owner of the Photo Forest. How can you take stock photography and elevate it and create a community? I think it's wonderful what she's doing. And I've also appreciated the fact that we have also been talking about mindset and about anxiety. And I just want to reiterate the tool that Nora gave us earlier, which is take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left side, write down all of your worries. And on the right side, answer those worries with possibilities. Let's hear it. Oh, I love this idea. So I hope that you will try it out. I know that I am going to. This is Dr. Drema, and we'll be talking again soon.